This episode of the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour is brought to you by Tick IQ. 2015 Sugar Bowl tickets are down 32% in the last week. Read more and grab a 20% discount code at tickiq.us/sugarbowl. Tick IQ. Buy tickets smart.
It's the BBC. Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Go Buck.
It's the BBC. Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Yep.
Buckeye Battle Cry.
Go Buck.
It's the BBC.
This is Mecha Dawn. You are listening to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. Peace.
Never running from the mission. On the heat up in the kitchen. See the light, we got a vision. On the ladder, escalator. On a mission to be greater than the top is where we going. We don't care about a hater.
Slow it down for a second. Actually, let's not. Cause we might give him a chance to catch up. So,
let's go.
Welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, coming at you across the web with the most exciting interviews and the best in Ohio State football and basketball coverage. Here's your host, Joe Dexter.
What is up, Buckeye Nation? Hello and welcome to the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, the show that wants a national championship for Christmas. Joe Dexter with you as we preview the Sugar Bowl and talk Buckeye legends with Buckeye Sports Bulletin's Mark Ray. His book is titled The Legends, Ohio State Buckeyes, The Men, The Deeds, The Consequences. You can find his book on Amazon.com. Thanks to Mark for stopping by and helping us preview the Sugar Bowl. What a great book. Where do you get the idea to start writing something like that?
Well, I've covered Ohio State football for more years than I care to remember, and I've always been a student of the history of Ohio State football. My dad went to Ohio State, and some of my first memories are listening to Ohio State football games in the backyard while he was doing his yard work or tinkering with the car or whatever, and it's just always fascinated me, the men and the players and the coaches and their diverse backgrounds and how they come from far-flung places and come to Columbus, Ohio, and mesh as a team. So that was kind of the genesis of it. And when you start to put down, and there are 50 profiles in the book, when you start to whittle down all of the great players who have played at Ohio State and just try to get it to a list of 50, it's pretty difficult, but once you do that and start the research, it was really fun.
That's the first thing I thought. Who's number 51?
Well, there are a lot of 51s, and I think the list of players and coaches in the book is not necessarily the 50 greatest players and coaches, but the 50 most interesting. And, you know, there are a lot of people in there that you would recognize, obviously. Archie and Woody and Eddie George and people like that. But there are a few in there that, you know, might pique your interest as an Ohio State fan that maybe you've heard of and didn't know, or maybe you've heard of and forgotten. But the list starts in 1913 with John Wilkes, who was really the first coach who brought Ohio State from really the dark ages of football into the Western Conference, which later became the Big Ten. Won the first Big Ten championship at Ohio State. Was Chick Harley's coach, and then we take it all the way through to the modern day with guys like Troy Smith and Mike Doss and Craig Krenzel, James Laurinaitis. So it encompasses the entire 125-year history of Ohio State football.
The book is The Legends, Ohio State Buckeyes, The Men, The Deeds, The Consequences. You can pick it up at Amazon.com. Mark Ray joins us, also an editor at Buckeye Sports Bulletin. Mark, when you look at this book and you prepare for the legends that you put in here and the interesting stories, I'm sure that there's a lot that you learned, even as a historian yourself, but being able to learn some of those things, and learning that maybe football in Ohio State University as a whole more important than what goes on the gridiron.
Oh, absolutely, and this is the second book I've read about Ohio State, Joe, and each time it kind of amazes me how much I don't know about Ohio State football and the history of it. For example, one story would be that Archie Griffin, his father, or actually his grandfather, was a coal miner in West Virginia and came from a generational coal mining family. And if Archie's father hadn't so disliked coal mining, we might never have heard of Archie Griffin. Archie might have been a coal miner in West Virginia. And it's those kind of aspects that happened during the research that are really interesting to me. And you know, how guys come from the backgrounds that they do and what makes up their characteristics, what makes up their the men that they are. Paul Brown, for example, everybody talks about Paul Brown and how meticulous he was and things of that nature, and that came from his father, who was a watchman for a railroad company, and he was the guy that made the train run on time. So you begin to find out where these guys get their personalities and the backgrounds that form them into the great players and coaches that we became fond of when they came to Ohio State.
Now some of the guys that you saw in the 90s are starting to become legendary status as well. Yep. I'm sure that you look ahead and maybe possibly if you were to do a sequel, or maybe even in your book, the guys like Troy Smith and the Jim Tressel era, where does that stand in Ohio State history when you're talking about legends?
Oh, sure, they're in there. A lot of guys from the 2002 National Championship team. Mike Doss, Craig Krenzel, Troy Smith is in there. James Laurinaitis is in there, and Jim Tressel as well. And some of the aspects of the book, and I've been asked about this a lot, is do you include the bad as well as the good? And the answer is yes. Jim Tressel, for example, you can't ignore the fact that he had one of the greatest 10-year runs of any Ohio State coach in history, but you also can't ignore the fact how his tenure ended. We've got guys in there like Art Schleister, who was still, in my mind, one of the greatest quarterbacks in Ohio State history. But at the same time, you can't ignore what happened to Art after he left Ohio State and what's happened to him in his later life. So all of those things are in there, warts and all. And again, I just think it gives the reader a better appreciation of who's played for Ohio State and what's made the sport and the program so great over the years.
Mark Ray with us. The book is The Legends, Ohio State Buckeyes, The Men, The Deeds, The Consequences. There's been some athletes that have had to deal with the consequences. You mentioned Art, Maurice Clarett's there. The thing that's so interesting to me about the book and the whole Ohio State history and the legends part of it, you've got guys like that, and then you've got guys like you mentioned, Mike Doss, a guy that, you know, Troy Smith, too, in the same example, kind of come out of nowhere. They become these legendary players.
Well, and it's interesting, both Troy and Mike Doss came from single-family homes and had really rough childhoods to the point where they could have gone either way with their lives. And sports and football was something that brought them, you know, out of that situation and helped mold their personality. Troy, for example, got into a situation at Cleveland Glenville in his early teens with Ted Ginn Sr. And Ted Ginn Sr. really became a father figure to Troy, and a father figure that he'd never had in his life before that, and really turned Troy's life around. And he became a model citizen and eventually became a Heisman Trophy winner. And the same happened with Mike Goff, who came from a single family home and was kind of passed around to the point where at the age of 10, he left his elementary school one day and walked 10 miles to an uncle's house and begged him to take him in. And that uncle turned Mike's life around. And it's just, you know, stories like that that are so interesting to me that, and things that I didn't know. You know, I covered both of those guys extensively from the recruiting all the way through the end of their career at Ohio State, and those were things that, you know, I never knew.
What's the most interesting interview that you had for the book or story that you heard through the process?
Well, I would say two, Joe. One is with John Brockington, who I've interviewed several times over the years, and he was a member of the Super Sophomores on that 1968 national championship team. And I never really knew the background that Brockington came from, but he was a guy that Woody Hayes did not want to recruit because he was from New York. He was already married and had a child in high school, and he wasn't the best of students. And when I say he wasn't the best of students, I mean he was a terrible student. They had trouble keeping him eligible, and Woody just didn't want to take a chance. And there was an assistant coach at the time who had scouted Brockington and just kept after Woody and kept after him. And finally, the last scholarship in that class was going to go to another guy, and he decided to go elsewhere. And Woody finally said, okay, if this Brockington guy is so special to you, we'll go ahead and sign him. And, of course, the rest is history. And you know, Brockington became a great player at Ohio State and went on to start him in the NFL at Green Bay. And, you know, those are the kind of stories that, you know, just kind of warm your heart. And you just wonder, you know, wow, I just never heard of that. And what a great story that is. And I was so proud to tell it.
The book is The Legends, Ohio State Buckeyes, The Men, The Deeds, The Consequences. He's Mark Ray. You can pick up the book at Amazon.com. Mark, you talk about legends and you talked about Woody there a bit. And to me, as I learn more as a younger guy, you start to realize that Woody is the guy that kind of put the paint on the canvas when it comes to the Ohio State legacy, really.
Well, certainly modern day. But if you would read the book from start to finish, from the 19 teams all the way through, you would kind of get an idea that it was a process. You know, the guys in the early part of the century built the foundation. Paul Brown continued, and it just got there until Woody got there. And then he, as you said, he put all the paint on the canvas. He finished the building, and then that 10-year war with Bo Schembechler, Ohio State and Michigan, and all the years they went to the Rose Bowl, and Archie winning two Heismans and the four national championships. And Woody was such a colorful figure. And you know, I could have written, and obviously people have written books, total books about Woody Hayes. And it's hard when you've only got a few pages to distill a man like Woody Hayes down into just one chapter. But, you know, I tried to use some of the best stories and maybe some of the ones you'd never heard of. And one of the best was one that Rex Kern always tells. And Woody is coming out of a grocery store and a man comes up to him and says, you know, it's my pleasure to meet the great Woody Hayes. My wife and I are such fans of you. And Woody says, well, you know, the pleasure's mine. I'd like to meet your wife. Where is she? And the man explains that she's in Riverside Hospital dying of cancer. And Woody says, oh, I'm so sorry. And they part, and by the time the man leaves that parking lot and gets back to his wife, he walks in the room and Woody's sitting there holding her hand. So those are kind of the things that, you know, you never hear. Woody's this bombastic, larger-than-life, you know, figure that, you know, people like to take pot shots at because of the way his career ended. But there are so many stories like that you know, reveal the true man that Woody Hayes was.
The book is The Legends, Ohio State Buckeyes, The Men, The Deeds, The Consequences. You got to check it out. Amazon.com is the place to grab it. Mark, let's switch gears a little bit and talking about Woody Hayes and talking about the 10-year war. Michigan currently looking for a new head coach. Do you ever see a 10-year war ever coming back?
Oh, I think so. You know, if you look at the entire history of the series, it's a cyclical one. Michigan had its way in the early days because of Fielding Yost, and he built a program that was on par with anyone in the nation, while Ohio State was just trying to get some footing in college football. And then it switched over a little bit, and then the 10-year war, Woody would win more than he lost, and then Earl Bruce was 5-4. Then you go into the John Cooper years where Ohio State couldn't buy a victory, and then Jim Tressel, all of a sudden, he gets there and wins 9 out of 10, which is unprecedented, and Urban Meyer has obviously kept that going. But, you know, if Michigan gets the right coach, and you know, they're looking at Jim Harbaugh right now, if they get the right coach and get back to where they were, yeah, I see the rivalry coming back. And as an Ohio State fan, it's enjoyable, obviously, to see Ohio State beat Michigan every year. But it's not good for the rivalry for Michigan to be down. It's not good for the Big Ten and its national reputation. So, I would prefer Michigan to make the right hire, get the right guy, and bring that program back. And hopefully every year, you know, Ohio State and Michigan will be undefeated when they play each other, and then let the chips fall where they may. But I think a strong Michigan program only benefits Ohio State and the Big Ten.
Mark Ray with us. You can check out his work as well as his book, The Work at Buckeye Sports Bulletin. Mark, when you look at the Big Ten, and we've talked about this a lot since the season ended, the one thing that seems bothersome for the league as it continues to try and get out of the doldrums that it's been put in, there's not a lot of coaches in the league with a superstar-type status. Urban Meyer might be the only one now.
Yeah, and I think Mark D'Antonio, you know, has the possibility if he can, you know, keep that program where it is for the next couple of years. But yeah, there's no doubt that the big name coaches, Urban Meyer is a committee of one in the Big Ten. Now, again, if Ohio State or if Michigan can get a Jim Harbaugh or maybe a Les Miles, then that obviously would bring another marquee coach to the Big Ten. But you know, that all goes hand in hand with that national reputation that we see on whether you prefer to watch ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or whatever you like to watch, it's the SEC that everybody's talking about, and that's because of the marquee teams and the marquee coaches that are down there. So, the Big Ten it's incumbent upon the Big Ten and the other programs in the Big Ten to raise their game up to the level of Urban Meyer and Mark D'Antonio, and I think that's what Michigan is trying to do. I think that's what Wisconsin tried to do with hiring Paul Prisk, bringing him back to a program that he served very well when Barry Alvarez was there. I think Nebraska kind of, has lost their way. Bo Pelini won 9 games every year he was there, but somehow 9 games isn't good enough. But they've, they brought Mike Riley in from Oregon State, who's certainly a name coach. We'll see, if he can bring his Pac-12 mentality to the Big Ten. But, you know, those are steps in the right direction. But it's got to be a conference-wide mentality that they have. You know, the status quo is not good enough. They got to raise their game.
Mark Ray with us, the managing editor at Buckeye Sports Bulletin, BuckeyeSports.com. Let's switch gears again and head to the All-State Sugar Bowl, a game where I don't think if you were to look back a couple weeks ago, Ohio State fans or fans in general of college football would think the Buckeyes would be in it.
Well, after the Virginia Tech game, I don't think anybody could foresee what was going to happen with Ohio State, and even those of us who covered the program on a day-to-day basis could see JT Barrett blossoming into the quarterback that he became. And I don't think anyone on the planet foresaw what was going to happen in the Big Ten championship game when Wisconsin is a 4-point favorite and just gets curb stomped 59-0. The defense played its best game of the year. The offense continued to percolate even with third-string quarterback Cardale Jones. And I think it was the body of work, but certainly that exclamation point that got Ohio State into the college football playoff. Now that they're there, what do they do? Well, they've got to play, number one, Alabama. And Alabama I've said this for weeks, Alabama represents everything that, you know, you aspire to be in college football. They're at the mountaintop. They've won three out of the last five national championships. Their coach is the highest paid coach in college football, rightfully so. Anytime you recruit one of the best players in America, Nick Saban's right there ahead of you, and you got to go through him to get the best players. So if Ohio State and Urban Meyer truly aspire to be national champions again, it's good that they've got to go through Alabama, because sooner or later that's, you know, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and they're the man right now.
It's intriguing to me, the whole rivalry that's been built between Saban and Meyer. Do you think that continues, even though it's just an All-State game, but All-State Sugar Bowl, and it's not a conference matchup, but the Florida game, Florida-Alabama games we've seen in the past, I think we might see some of that going into this game. It could be a good one.
Absolutely no question, Joe, that this is not only Ohio State-Alabama, this is Meyer versus Saban. Meyer beat Saban the first time, and then Saban beat him two times in a row. And people in Tuscaloosa like to say that Saban ran Meyer out of the game, that, you know, Meyer couldn't beat Saban, so he quit. Obviously, nothing could be further from the truth with all the health problems that Urban had and had to take the year off. But that's one of the underlying currents of this game. But, you know, that just makes it even better. You've got two of the most storied programs in college football history. You've got two of the biggest names in coaching right now. You've got two fan bases that are just off the charts in terms of how they follow their teams. And you got two teams that, you know, aspire to be national champions every year. So you know, you've got that over and above the fact that it's a semifinal game for the national championship. Just, you know, this is going to be huge. And I'll be interested to see how they hype it, you know, if they hype it more than the Rose Bowl, or if it's just all-encompassing. And I think a lot of people think that the winner of the Sugar Bowl is going to win the national championship. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It'll be an entertaining game. I'm looking forward to it.
When you look at the quarterback situation for Ohio State, Cardale Jones comes in the Wisconsin game, only completes 12 passes, but that's all he needed. It wasn't a thing where the third-string quarterback comes in and we don't want to throw the ball. Cardale Jones really proved that he belongs in the talk of being a quarterback at Ohio State quality, I guess you would say. But I guess my question would be, if Cardale has a big game against Alabama, can you throw him in the talk of being possibly in the starter rotation starting next year?
Well, if he beats Alabama, there's no question. And, you know, I'm from the school that I think that's a good thing. If you've got three capable quarterbacks, and you know, nothing's a given. Braxton Miller, no one knows if his shoulder will be even ready for next season. He faces a long road with rehab. Now, everything he's done and everything that he says and all the things the doctors say he will be ready, but anytime you have surgery on your throwing shoulder, it's, you know, you never know. JT Barrett's going to come back from dislocated and broken ankle, and obviously when you're a mobile quarterback, that's going to weigh on your mind, and he's not going to be ready for spring. Neither one of those guys are going to be ready for the spring, so it's going to be Cardale in the spring, and he's going to get so many valuable reps that Urban Meyer is going to have a conundrum on his hands in the fall. But again, that'll be an embarrassment of riches that no other college coach in the country can boast. So, you know, somebody asked me if that's too many quarterbacks, and I say no, because you get to the end of this season and you're on your third one, so you never know. Well, the kind of offense that Ohio State runs is pretty physically taxing on a quarterback, so, you know, maybe you need as many as three.
Mark Ray with us. You can check out his work. He's the managing editor at Buckeye Sports Bulletin, buckeyesports.com. Is it crazy for me to think that if the guy that gets the starting job at Ohio State, if the other two were to go to any other Big Ten school, they would start?
Well, I think Wisconsin, they could. I think that was proved in the title game. You know, I'm sure they could start at a lot of schools, not just in the Big Ten. You know, I think Penn State is satisfied with Christian Hackenberg, and you know, there are a lot of other guys out there, but I think if anybody said, you know, we'll give you Braxton Miller, I think everybody would say, yeah, that we'll take him. And now JT Barrett the same way. You know, JT Barrett was behind Cardale Jones on the depth chart 2 weeks before the season started, and then all of a sudden he's the starter and finishes the season as number five on the Heisman ballot. So, you know, I don't think anybody could have possibly foretold that, and if they could, they probably won the Powerball numbers. So, it's those kind of things, Joe, that make college football so great. You know, guys just come out of nowhere and have these marvelous, magical seasons, and there's no question that it was like that for JT Barrett, and it was just the same the way the season ended. But, you know, like the Arizona Cardinals this year, it's next man up for Ohio State. And a lot of people do not give them much of a chance against Alabama, including the oddsmakers that say Alabama's a 9.5-point favorite. But when I analyze the two teams, I see two strikingly similar teams, both offensively and defensively, with the only difference being a quarterback. And if Ohio State can get any kind of performance out of Cardell like they got in the Big Ten title game, then I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched.
Speaking of unexpected, it might not have been unexpected, but Ezekiel Elliott comes in and gets 1,000 yards after the first 1,000-yard back in Urban Meyer's history, Carlos Hyde, last year. Maybe not expected. Maybe we thought that he would be as good as he is, but he's been a key running game-wise in the offensive line developing to what it is for the success of this team.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, we all knew that Ezekiel Elliott was going to be good, and I didn't know how polished and what a finished player he is. And, you know, obviously JT Barrett's going to be the MVP of this team, but I would, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is going to get some votes or should get some votes. But the fact that he ran like he did is a given. But the guy is such a complete player as a running back, on blitz pickups and blocks and catching the ball and just everything you need to be an elite running back. He's got it. The Big Ten championship game was a perfect example. When he broke off that 81-yard touchdown run early in the first quarter, made it 14-0, you could see the Wisconsin defense going back to their huddle, going back to their bench with their heads down. And you just knew from that time that Ohio State was in the driver's seat. Now, you didn't obviously didn't know it was going to be 59-0, but that was kind of the thing that really got Ohio State going. And, you know, they were allowed them to keep their foot on the gas pedal. So Elliott, to me, has been, you know, if not the MVP, certainly one of the most valuable players on the team this year.
When you look at the Sugar Bowl coming up in Alabama, Ohio State, you think back tradition, all the strong tradition through both programs. It makes me wonder, and maybe you got a better insight on it, do you see this this game being more of a defensive battle, offensive battle? What do you see in this Sugar Bowl?
Well, you know, whenever I go out on a limb like this, it always turns out to be the opposite. But, I look for an offensive battle. These two teams have struggled sometimes on defense. Even Alabama, you know, has been in some games where they've had to win it late with some late rallies. They got down, you know, they were down by double digits to Auburn in the fourth quarter and had to rally for that one. And that one wound up 55-44. Ohio State was in a similar battle with Michigan State, although they were never, you know, they were never behind after the first quarter. But that one, you know, wound up 49-37. So, you know, both of these teams can score points, and they can score them in bunches. And, you know, as long as Ohio State can run the ball against Alabama, and that's a tall order, but the way the offensive line has come on and the way Elliott has run, and if you get, you know, Jones some carries and get him comfortable in the pocket, then I think Ohio State can score some points. And I think it's maybe it's going to be the first one to, I hate to say the first one to 40 wins, but I think the first one to 35 is going to be pretty good. But I think it's going to take 35 to win.
My, oh, my, how college football has changed, eh?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think Barron Willie would not approve of that.
Mark Rea joining us. You got to check out his book. It's The Legends, Ohio State Buckeyes, The Men, The Deeds, The Consequences. We'll have a link to buy it on Amazon down in this post here for the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour. And heading into the All-State Sugar Bowl, make sure you check out Mark's work and the work of the guys at Buckeye Sports Bulletin and BuckeyeSports.com. They'll keep you up to date on what's going on heading into the Sugar Bowl, recruiting, all the great stuff. Mark, I want to thank you for your time, and enjoy the rest of the season.
Well, it sounds great, and thanks for having me, Joe. It's my pleasure, and happy holidays to you.
He's Mark Rea. You can find his book, The Legends, Ohio State Buckeyes, The Men, The Deeds, The Consequences, on Amazon.com. You can find his work daily at BuckeyeSports.com as well. Thanks to Mark for stopping by and helping us preview the Sugar Bowl as Ohio State gets set to take on Alabama on New Year's Day. Of course, if you're still looking to get down to New Orleans, you're still looking to do so with last-minute tickets, remember our friends at TickIQ can help you. 2015 Sugar Bowl tickets are down 32% in the last week. Read more and grab a 20% discount code at tickiq.us/sugarbowl. Buy tickets smart at TickIQ. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great new year. And as always, go Buckeyes.
For more on the Buckeye Battle Cry Radio Hour, visit iTunes or check out our media page. For more Buckeye news and notes, visit www.thebuckeyebattlecry.com.